Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerbeam, and joining us, as he does every Friday for a Ferg Friday, Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, bud. I am doing well. Yeah, we were talking, kind of joking around before we press record, but I'm really just ready for this game to get here. I feel like we've been breaking this game down for forever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been one that we've talked about as like the first major, major test for Brian Harsin.
And right.
The other thing is that like Georgia's done nothing but look incredible from the beginning of the year. So we've kind of known what the challenge is going to be for a while. And really the change in this matchup has come from the Auburn perspective.
Yes. Yeah, there's no question about it. And later in the week, over the last few days, a lot of attention seems to have been brought to the fact that like this is Georgia's first like real road game in a long time. Yep. And that... I think it will play a factor. Will it play enough of a factor? I think that's the conversation, right?
Yeah, I think it all depends on how the defense plays, right? You know, if the defense is executing well and you know, playing to the best of their abilities, the crowd's in it the whole way. And we've seen Jordan Hare be a difference maker in games like this, even when, you know, Auburn's been a pretty heavy underdog at home throughout the years. And I think that's kind of the way Auburn has to win this game if they have a chance. They need it to be low scoring. And it's possible. I mean, it is possible because Georgia, the thing they are best at right now is running the ball. Mm-hmm. That is what Auburn's defense is best at. As long as Jacoby McClain's out there, they've been awesome at stopping the running game this year.
Sure.
Then you look at the quarterback situation, whether it's JT Daniel or more likely Stetson Bennett. Neither of those guys have played in a big game environment like this as Georgia's starting quarterback. They've seen nothing like this. They didn't see it last year. They haven't seen it so far this year. Wide receivers and tight ends for Georgia have not been fully healthy 100%. Right. They've got a ton of talent. They've got a ton of depth. They've got four running backs that are unreal good. They've got an offensive line that's stocked with talent. So, like, they could definitely move the ball on Auburn and even make it look easy just because of how talented they are. But if Auburn plays a really good defensive game and the crowd stays in it all the way, I mean, that's a roadmap. And then you start talking about that Auburn offense versus the Georgia defense. And then you start saying, okay, well, maybe you don't need to be like awesome. Like, you don't need to like necessarily slay the giant every play, but like a few big plays on offense or special teams could be the difference.
You talked about the quarterbacks not really being in a true road environment. The last true road environment that a lot of people are saying Georgia had was 2 years ago when they came mm-hmm. to Jordan-Hare Stadium. They had two starters that were starters in that game. And I think it's interesting that they're still on their team. Jordan Davis, which is fantastic. Then Kearse Jackson, who's not really a starter anymore. And then the other guy that started for him was Demetrius Robertson. And obviously he'll be starting in this game just for the other team. But this is a young team. And this is a team that hasn't experienced anything like this before. And so I think that's something that is worth paying attention to.
It definitely is. And if Georgia comes out and plays their game and looks really good and it's not much of a factor, well, I think you just chalk it up to Georgia's probably the best team in America. I mean, this is, if Georgia comes in this week in this environment, it covers and plays really well against Auburn.
Yeah.
I think you have to start talking about them as number one, you know? But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, this, you don't know what it's going to look like until they actually get in it. And they have the most talent. Them and Alabama have the most talent in college football that they can overcome the fact that they are young and they do have a lot of turnover. But what does that look like? What does that look like? Because so far this season, it's been pretty easy. That Clemson game was about a 50-50 atmosphere in Charlotte, which is really cool. Really, it was a really good defensive slugfest. But, I mean, since then, they've just blown the doors off of everybody they've played, and it's either been at home or at Vanderbilt, where that's basically another home game for Georgia, like it is for pretty much any team that goes to Vanderbilt. So, yeah, this is a completely different atmosphere on Saturday when most of the crowd is against you and is going to be making a ton of noise, because this is the first big home game of the Brian Harsin era. And, yeah. And I mean, the Akron game was pretty loud, and even the Alabama State game at times was really, really loud from Auburn student section. Would love to see what it's going to look like on Saturday with, you know, a real big game environment.
What do you say, Jay Ferg, to the folks, I guess the more confident portion of the Auburn fan base that says, hey, Georgia hasn't really played anyone with an offense so far this year, so maybe their defense is a bit overrated. Well, I'm a little hesitant to say that, but a lot of people out there are saying it. What's your response to that?
Yeah, no, they're just dominant, period. This defensive front for Georgia is one of the best I've seen in a long time. They've got a lot of NFL dudes on that front.
Yeah.
They've got big guys who can run, and it's just, you know, it's the culmination of a lot of what they've been trying to build with Kirby Smart over the years. And you know, defense is one of those things where it doesn't matter who you play. If you look really good on defense, that usually carries. Like, right. I talked about that at the beginning of the year. It's like, well, hey, if Auburn's defense looks awesome against Akron, history tells us that defense can kind of last and stick around. And I think that's true for a lot of teams. Like, just defense is that high level. You know, if you're pitching shutouts against anybody, against anybody back-to-back weeks, it's really good. And then, like, Arkansas, like, you know, I can understand Arkansas is pretty one-dimensional on offense. But, I mean, they hammered Texas. It's not like they were pushovers by any means. So, yeah, I do think this Auburn could, in terms of talent, well, they definitely are in terms of talent, be like the best type of, you know, offensive test they can get, because Clemson's got a lot of problems right now.
Sure.
But, I mean, doing what they did to Clemson and Arkansas, no matter where it was, is you know, pretty fantastic. And then I'm not going to scoff at doing what they did to South Carolina and especially Vanderbilt and UAB, because it's just, you know, all it takes is one mistake and you have a completely different game. It's not a completely different play and it's not a shutout. They shut out all three of those teams.
Do you think the approach offensively for the Auburn Tigers will be, okay, we've got to be able to run the ball, we've got to get Tank Bigsby going, Jarquez Hunter going, and set up a run so maybe you can really help develop Bo Nix with a passing game kind of thing? Or do you say, hey, we're probably not going to be able to run it, so we're going to try to throw it through the air or do some kind of gimmicky stuff early? What do you think their approach will be?
I think it could look a lot like the second quarter looked at LSU, okay, which is quick passing game, rollouts, and use that to open up the running game later. I think just pinning your ears back and just saying we're going to run the ball against this team is kind of a death sentence. Georgia State and LSU, I mean, LSU is not a great run-stopping team, but when you put seven or eight guys in the box, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, if they're committed to stopping your downhill running game, it's tough unless you have an elite offensive line, which Auburn doesn't have. I mean, this is not a 2013 offensive line. It's one of the few times I've ever seen a defense be like, or an offense be like, we don't care how many's over there. We don't care. We could tell you what's coming and it's not going to, like, those rushing attacks are rare. Problem now was with Georgia is that they have that kind of ability committing less guys, because they have a Jordan Davis, because they have a N'Kobe Dean, because they have all these players up front. And so I think this, if there is, and I say this with a lot of hesitation, if there is a relative weaker spot on this Georgia team, it's in pass defense and it's at corner,
okay,
because they've given up a few big plays. Clemson had one, South Carolina had one. We've seen a little bit. They can test those guys a little bit, and it's just that quick stuff. Like, Georgia's pass rush is insane,
right,
and they don't have to blitz to get home. So what we saw Auburn do to neutralize the pass rush against Bo Nix, besides Bo Nix just saying, I'm never going to get tackled,
right,
is, you know, the rollouts, the quick passes. And, I mean, go back to the second and third quarters. He got in a rhythm. Like, his running and his going to the perimeter, like, helped him out a lot. But, man, when he had a clean pocket in time, he did not misfire very often, right? The misfires came with pressure and other stuff going. Like, he did a really good job, I thought, of just getting in a rhythm. And, like, that's your best bet against Georgia, because it's going to be really hard to run against these guys. It just is. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. from Auburn teams playing against awesome defenses. You can go back to some of those really good LSU, or those really good Alabama units. They, you know, even guys like Nick Marshall had to throw the ball to get going. And then 2017, when Auburn beat Alabama in Jordan-Hare, I mean, you know, that was Jarrett Stidham throwing to Ryan Davis over and over again, right, and just loosening everything up. Same thing with Georgia that year as well.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I got some questions for Justin on the other side of this. There's several of you have reached out asking questions on FERC Friday. But first, hey, if you're a business owner or a high-income professional, be sure to listen up. Have you ever considered that by funding a 401k or an IRA, you are potentially creating a massive tax burden on yourself when you retire? Contrary to what you're told by traditional advisors and accountants, a 401k or an IRA does not save on taxes. It just postpones the taxes and tax collections. Wealthy people do not have access to a special tax code. They use unique financial products, part of the tax code, that are available to everyone, including you, as well as strategy that's out there. Would you like to learn how to take advantage of the tax code? Contact Ethan Dahl. He is the owner of Innovative Financial Solutions. He has clients throughout the USA. But yeah, contact him at 251-243-6038, or you can shoot him an email, ethan@ethandahl.com. Ethan Dahl, your alternative to traditional financial planning. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. They've got a ton of different flavors, all of them very high in protein, very low in calories, very low in sugar, very low in carbs, all of that good stuff. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. All right, Justin Ferguson, fill us in. What all is happening at the Auburn Observer? And if folks are not signed up, how can they sign up ASAP?
Yeah, so it's been a big week at the Observer. Did kind of two film room-y types of things. Yeah. Did one on the Auburn offense, what worked against LSU, why Auburn's defense worked against LSU at the beginning of the week. Wrote down what Auburn has to do to try to get anything going against this this Georgia defense. That was on Wednesday. Did a podcast on Thursday with Ben Wolk. Banner and I, it was a really fun one. It's probably our best one I think we've done. We had a lot of fun talking Georgia and some other things with Ben. And mailbag's up today if you're listening to this, and it's a big one. And we got into a lot of good questions about Auburn, Georgia, and then a lot of good questions about nothing to do with Auburn and Georgia. So those are always the most fun ones. And we'll have coverage over the weekend. AuburnObserver.com, $6 a month, $60 a year. You get something pretty much every morning, whether it's a newsletter or a podcast, and sign up there. Once you're in, you're in. Everything we do gets sent to your email inbox.
Yes. Sign up, worth every penny. All right. In the Locked On Auburn Discord, Jay Ferg, Anon Rush asks, questions for Ferg Friday. Should Auburn start the game with the ball and defense in the second half, or start with defense and then receive the ball in the second half? What are your thoughts on that?
I think this might be a game where you defer. And if you're in it, if you're in it at halftime, starting with the ball in the third quarter could be a really big thing. You get your adjustments. You're like, all right, we're going to have a good plan right here. This is how we're going to put more points on the board, or at least try to start the second half. If not, let's get good field possession. Let's try to win that battle. I think their plan to go win the toss and get it at LSU was a good one and ended up not working out. But I think the kind of the nature of that Georgia defense, as someone who's never coached a game of football in his life, I do think that's something like my thought process immediately went to, okay, if I'm still in the game, I want the ball to start in the second half.
Sure. Yeah, I'm right there.
Or you can just kick an onside kick if you don't. And like, I can't stress enough how close that thing was to working. It just a little too much heat. I mean, from my view in the press box, when we were looking down, I was like, oh, they got it. Like it was, and I remember turning to somebody right before I was like, they might try something a little tricky here. They did, and it was like, ooh, that was really, really close. Ended up working out for them. They only gave up 3 points off of it.
Yeah. Edgy call for Harson. You love that. All right. Ipar Golf asks, with the kind of season Hunter is putting together, chances Auburn can go back-to-back-to-back freshman of the year. Has that ever been done before?
Wow. So I don't know the answer to the second part of that question, but yeah, I would imagine that
you had Bo, and then you had Tank, and then maybe Hunter could get into it. Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever happened before. I really don't. I'd have to look that up. Without knowing everybody's freshman right now, I do know this. Jarquez Hunter leads the nation in yards per carry. I think as the more we get into the season, I think we'll start seeing more of a 50-50 split between Hunter and Bigsby as the primary backs. And you know, I don't think Bigsby's hurt, and I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with him. I just think teams are really focusing on him.
Right.
And Hunter's got a little bit more big play speed, can break it to the outside. Oh, and by the way, because I know my audience here, Sean Shivers, third down running back Sean Shivers is an awesome role for him.
I love it.
And like that could get him some an NFL future. I think it's, yes. I mean, and I wrote this in the mailbag on Friday. I was like, it's coming. I don't know when. It might not be Georgia because Georgia's so good on defense. There's coming a point where they're going to scheme something up where Sean Shivers gets the ball out of the backfield on a catch some kind on a third down or even on an earlier down. And he's going to have a wide open lane, and he's going to be able to remind everybody that he was just this much slower than Anthony Schwartz is, because we haven't seen that a ton from him in his career. He's been right. The run through you kind of guy. I can't wait to see him get out in space and use his jets, because I think he's getting better and better at that as his career has gone on.
And we talked about that earlier in the week. I mean, this could be a really big week for Shivers in the sense of just that's one of the few matchups I think Auburn will be able to manipulate, and it'll actually benefit Auburn. If you have I don't care how good your linebackers are, they're not as fast as him. And so kind of putting him on that swing pass over and over and over again. Exactly. Yeah. So I think we'll see a lot of that.
I love that role for him, by the way. I think
me too.
I think that's NFL future kind of thing. I think he can stick on a roster doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Put him next to Darren Sproles and see what happens there. Woody asked, staying on the running back train, Woody asked, what would it look like if Tank and Hunter in the backfield at the same time, or Tank and Shivers, or Shivers and Hunter? Have we done this? Seems like a lot of options. Who does the defense have to focus on?
Yeah, there have been a few plays this year where they have run two running backs. It hasn't been the traditional split back set that you would think of, but it is that under center, and I think one time they did it out of the pistol, where they line up Shivers, and they did it with Bigsby last weekend, got a sweep to him, he hit the corner and got a good play out of it, where you have a running back lineup in the slot and you have another running back lineup in the traditional running back spot. You can do some stuff with motion and move them around. I think that's a really fun formation to do. With Auburn's receivers still a work in progress, you can sacrifice taking one of those guys off the field at a time to put a running back in, because you know Shivers and Hunter and Bigsby are, you know, three of your best guys right now.
No question. Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer, our guest today. Today's show brought to you by betonline.ag, the best place on the interwebs to place a bet on anything sports-related. BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. If you feel confident about these Auburn Tigers, -14.5 is betonline.ag's line. Run over there and make a deposit if you feel one way or the other, or make a bet, rather. If you haven't, go ahead and make a deposit. And when you do, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Justin, I got a few more questions for you, then just kind of overall last kind of parting shots into this. But Mr. Mischief, don't mess with him, asked, given Georgia playing statistically bad offenses, is it safe to say their defense is overvalued? If so, does this change how you view our outcome? So we kind of already touched on this, but they're still very good. Despite the offenses they play, Georgia's defense is very good.
Georgia's defense is awesome, and I think, you know, it's kind of almost magic proof at this point. And Auburn, here's the other thing, too. It's not like Auburn's offense is firing on all cylinders against quality opponents. I mean, you know, they got it done at LSU, and they found a strategy that I think can work at Georgia, but it's not like it's, you know, set in stone or anything like that. I think we're thinking of Auburn very differently this week if they're coming off a loss than a win. So
no doubt.
I think it's all that to keep that in mind moving forward. But yeah, I think Georgia's defense has a real chance to be the best defense we've seen since 2011 Alabama. And that defense was, you know, otherworldly good.
Yeah, very good. Last question from the Locked On Auburn Discord. Thick Marshall Hype Generator asks, Georgia probably has the best defense in the country, blah, blah, blah. If we win on Saturday, what statistical category is going to have to jump off the page? And if we lose, same question. #FergFriday.
So I think the thing that jumps off the page is probably going to be something like turnovers, points off turnovers. I think Auburn's going to need something like that. They're going to need a punt block. They're going to need a field goal block. They're going to need some special teams magic. If I can go in depth, I think special teams EPA would be a pretty good one to look at to be like, all right, how much did Auburn take advantage of the fact that, you know, they have a really good field goal kicker and they can make blocks happen and they've got some, they got some surprisingly good playmakers in the return game. Like, that to me is a big one. But yeah, turnovers. We have seen in the past Auburn springing these upsets. Weird stuff happens, whether it's turnovers or, you know, missed field goals or something like that. I think this has got to be a game where Auburn flips the field, flips some momentum by making something happen. And this defense, you know, they had the pick late. They had the pick six against against Georgia State as well. But, yeah, I think they're due for Ekuliota was really close to getting one, getting that fumble against LSU. I think they're due for one or two of those middle of the game, middle of the field, it's our ball now kind of plays, and, you know, maybe you can score off of that.
Sure. And if Auburn loses, what do you think stands out on the stat sheet?
I think the one thing it'll stand out on the stat sheet probably to me is going to be yards per attempt for the passing games for both of them. Yeah. Auburn's defense adjusted really, really well against LSU and did a great job really after that first drive of limiting Max Johnson and especially Kayshon Boutte. But we also know Georgia's defense can make life very difficult on anybody who's trying to play quarterback against them. We know the pass protection's not flawless. We know the wide receivers are a big-time work in progress. We know Georgia, even though they have injury doubts and depth issues, I guess, you know, in their own passing game, they've still got a ton of talent. So I could see if Auburn loses, it's like, well, was Georgia able to do the thing that we thought they might have struggled with the most heading into this game? And did Auburn have a hard time keeping up with it? Because I think they absolutely have to throw the ball to beat this team. You can't say, well, we're going to establish the run and we're going to be one-dimensional and we're going to not going to work. Arkansas tried it and they got their ass beat out. Other teams have tried it. They're not going to do it. I give Clemson and South Carolina a lot of credit. They at least tried to throw the ball against Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have to. You're going to have to. Yeah. I guess bottom line is Auburn win tomorrow. In your mind, do you think the Tigers are able to pull it out?
No, I don't. But I've often been wrong before, and I think predicting Auburn football is one of the dumbest things you can do because you're always going to be wrong.
Right.
But I do think this team is in really good a really good spot to play I could see this being a tight four-quarter game and Auburn covering, but just Georgia is just farther ahead in the process right now. They've got more talent. Their coaching staff. I mean, everything's kind of been culminating to this. And for Auburn, it's year one of a new era where you're doing a culture change and you're doing a lot of different new stuff. But I think this game, there are no moral victories, especially when it comes to the Georgia rivalry. But, man, I think Auburn's got a really good chance to be very, very competitive against Georgia in this game and come out of this week saying, you know what, that's tough. We've got a lot of stuff to work on. You know, we've got it. But you feel a lot better about this stretch you're going to hit now that Georgia's in the rearview mirror. And you've got a long time to go and some easier teams to play before you play Alabama.
Jay Ferg, thank you for hanging out with us for a few minutes today. Really appreciate it. Once again, how can folks sign up for everything happening at the Auburn Observer?
AuburnObserver.com. Type in your email. Hit the subscribe button. It'll send you an email to give you instructions on how to get the paid subscription. $6 a month, $60 a year. And then that's it. That's all you got to do. Everything we do is going to be sent to your email inbox. Read and listen on your own time. A lot of good podcasts. And I wrote some decent stuff this week, but... everybody else did some good podcasts, so I'll give them credit for that.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much, brother. Really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, yes, we'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On Auburn.